Is that sleigh bells I hear in the distance? No, it's Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc., where we talk about everything under the sun having to do with hypnosis, and sometimes we get a little bit sidetracked. But if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video, right down there on calbanyan.com, we got more text, we got more links, we got more graphics that just make this video more valuable to you. All right, let's see. I've got L. Ron back one more time. He's got a hot topic that he's just been dying to talk about. I don't see what's so interesting about it. But he thinks it's cool, so I figured maybe some of you guys would think it was cool too. Anyway, let me tell you about L. Ron. L. Ron, he is a Hypno One Percenter, among the best of the best in the profession. He does real instant inductions. He does real rapid inductions. He covertly tests for somnambulism. He uses convincers with every client. He does real age regression in somnambulism. He does parts work. He's the man. I'm so proud of him. So glad to have him working at our center, because I can, if I know someone that, it might be a friend or family member and I shouldn't work with them, that needs hypnosis, they're in this area, I'd send them to L. Ron with complete confidence. Hey, what's happening, L. Ron?
Hey, you know, just living the good life, Cal.
Good.
And after that plug, I'm going to raise my rates for sure.
There you go.
That's right. Merry Christmas to me. I'm raising my rates. Cal said so. And I think I owe it to you to do that. For those of you that are watching this podcast, if you're watching the podcast, raise your hand. Cal Banyan is the Hypno Daddy. He is the absolute spirit of Christmas, but in the form of hypnosis.
That's right.
Whenever I do hypnosis and I think of Cal, it's like Christmas every day, especially right now.
That's right. Right now, I am the Hypno Santa Claus.
That's right.
That's right. You come the NGH Solid Gold Weekend in February, and we'll pretend it's still Christmas, and you can come over and tell me what you want next year for Christmas. I'll be the Hypno Santa Claus.
I want to be an awesome hypnotist.
Ho, ho, hypnosis.
Cal would say, that's okay. I do that all the time.
That's right.
So, what are we going to talk about? Oh, I know. Cal, I read something that really got to me the other day. I was reading, I was just signing on to my email as normal, and I saw this headline on ABC News, something to the effect, because I don't want to get in trouble and quote people's names or whatever, we're not a news organization, but it's something to the effect of, it was on ABC News, there's a story of a woman who is suing a guy that alleges that he used hypnosis to brainwash her into believing that she was part of a satanic cult. It's all over the news, and apparently this practitioner was a psychologist, and a therapist first that used exposure therapy. But one of the advertisements for this clinic and this center that specialized in eating disorders, among other things, was that they also were experts in hypnosis and used hypnosis. And so this woman alleged that with the use of hypnosis, she developed all these beliefs that she was in a satanic cult where all these terrible things happened. And then after she filed the lawsuit, where she's trying to sue them for $1 million, there was some other people that had seen the same clinic and the same center that also said, oh, you too? Well, me too. I also had that problem, and I saw the same guy. Pfft, what a coincidence. Were we all in a satanic cult together? The reason that I bring it up is that kind of press is the last thing that our profession needs within any context, and it gives me the opportunity, and perhaps Cal the opportunity, to talk about the soapbox of what is all this hypnosis business as it relates to false memories, and what is leading and non-leading techniques, and how do people come to think that stuff like that happens, and what is the harm that could be done with hypnosis, and what is the harm that can be done with just regular therapist practitioners, and what are the circumstances that or the conditions that have to be there in order for a person to develop false memories and things of that nature. Is there anything you want to add to this, what I just said, before I start giving my two cents, Cal?
Now, let me ask you a question here. Was this a psychologist or psychiatrist or counselor or a non-licensed hypnosis professional like myself?
No. They were a fully licensed therapist.
Ah. Yeah. So being a fully licensed psychotherapist does not turn you into the perfect hypnotist. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I will support, absolutely.
And it also doesn't free you from being sued or having crazy people who come to see you for sessions. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, my course is made. I mean, my case is made. you know what? These guys drive me crazy. Well, there's two things here. One is, well, there's a whole bunch of things we could talk about here. One is the false memory thing. And if you become trained in hypnosis, particularly hypnotic age regression, you need to be trained by someone that knows what the heck they're doing. Because if you screw around and you do it wrong, there's a chance that someone could develop false memories. It's not that likely. I haven't seen it happen. I actually never actually seen it happen, but theoretically it could happen. And then secondly, when false memories do occur, by far, research shows, and I'm sorry I can't quote it, but I've read it, and I just didn't write it down, so I can't cite it to you, that this false memory stuff happens as a result of working with psychologists, counselors, and other mental health professionals. They're not using hypnosis. They do it. They get people to think stuff simply through persuasion, through their prestige. Did you give a definition of false memory yet there, Ellen?
Yes, from the False Memory Foundation, they said false memories can result from the influence of external factors, such as the opinion of an authority figure or information repeated by culture. An individual with the internal desire to please, to get better, or to conform can easily be affected by such influences. Nowhere does it say that hypnosis is a mutually exclusive component of what creates false memories.
Ditto that. So we've got this idea that it is possible that you could do age regression, and while a person is regressed to 5 years old, you could suggest that something happened that didn't happen. In some cases, someone may accept that suggestion, and then once that's done, it's filed away as a memory, and that would be a false memory. I've never known in actuality of that ever happening, but it mostly happens in talk therapy. And one of the reasons is when you're doing hypnosis, you're kind of on guard. You know that this person is giving you suggestions, and you're, the protective part of you will just reject stuff that doesn't make sense. But when you're not in hypnosis, you're still suggestible, not as suggestible as you are in hypnosis. But meeting with a talk therapist, week after week, month after month, who holds a specific point of view just because of their prestige and their training and stuff, eventually you can come to accept their belief system. So we also have this idea that you've got the clients that will just accuse you of stuff. Now, every single session I conduct, every single session that I have ever conducted since I was a professional hypnosis professional, has been video recorded. Every single one. And if this psychologist would have had the same level of professionalism I have, I don't know who he is, or she or whatever, because I haven't read this article, but he or she could just pull out the video and say, okay, subpoena this. And it goes into court, and they could see very easily that nothing was ever brought up that way. From the moment my client walks through the door to the moment they walk out of the door, they're being videotaped and video recorded, audio and video. And so I just don't have any worries about this. And I recommend that you do the same thing. So, nowadays... And, of course, this is always with the written permission of the client. If they don't give me permission, they can go see someone else. It's for my own protection that I do that. Anything else, Elron?
No, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to...
Do you video record your sessions?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Yeah, for my protection and for the protection of the client.
Oh, what are you protecting them from?
For their peace of mind.
Oh, for the peace
okay.
of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Because sometimes people may have their kids to come see him or something like that. I go, well, just and they may be concerned. I said, all sessions are videotaped. Okay, yeah. And they're videotaped for both our protection, for my protection and for theirs, so that you know, they know that I'm held accountable as well.
Exactly. I've had clients tell me, "Oh, they didn't know that we did this, and they held us in a higher level of regard by the fact that we did this. To know that those tapes can be available, so that's really cool. Actually, they're not tapes anymore; they're recorded with a DVR, digital video recorder, onto a DVD. But I digress. All right. Anything else you want to talk about that news article?
About that news article? Well, just to point out within that definition that it's the influence of the opinion of the authority figure and the ideas that create the false memories. And that's, you know, people have an arbitrary level of suggestibility to other people in their life that changes as the relationship changes, or sometimes it can be right there from the start. For instance, people are more suggestible to someone wearing a white trench coat, or I mean a white lab coat, than they are to just someone off the street. Some people are more suggestible to one of their peers than a stranger that they know nothing about, as far as positive affirmations or maybe even criticisms or maybe even suggestions of what could be wrong with them. People are influenced by people all the time because they have an arbitrary level of suggestibility to that person. They have different thresholds. And so hypnosis or not hypnosis, it's the relationship between the professional and that person that created the opening within the mind for those suggestions and that suggestive talking about what could be the source of their problem to become a false memory, so that their subconscious and conscious mind aren't in conflict about it, because people like to have reasons for things. So all of that is possible with zero hypnosis, and in fact, most of the cases about false memories or false memory syndrome don't include hypnosis as part of the cause of the problem or even part of the circumstances around it. There are a few cases around where hypnosis was one of the tools that was involved in the therapy where the person ended up having false memory syndrome, but people are just as suggestible without an official hypnotic induction when working with a professional once that relationship gets really cemented as in a deep level of hypnosis, I think. And so it's, once again, it's not the hypnosis that's bad, it's bad people that are bad. What else can you say?
Well, you know, it's, you know, there's two things that are going on here. One is this person who's claiming something that, you know, according to the psychologist, never happened. So this is a troublemaking client. And then we also have, and I don't know the degree of training that this psychologist has in hypnosis or hypnotherapy, but we have that issue. And one of the things I want to talk about is that, you know, I want you to completely, everybody watching this, if you are an unlicensed hypnosis professional, and you've got 100 hours, 200 hours, 300 hours, ongoing annual professional educational credits, units, whatever, and this is what you do. Full time, this is your professional. I want you to completely and utterly reject the label of lay hypnotist.
Amen.
You know, if you go to the dictionary, I don't care what dictionary you go to, I don't care what encyclopedia you go to, you look up the word lay and it means untrained. And if you pit myself or L. Ron or the other people that have turned hypnotism into their profession and compare their training and their experience with the vast majority of licensed mental health professionals, be they counselors, be they psychologists, okay, who got their training exclusively from college, our training and abilities will meet or exceed them every single time. The other day I got an email from some mental health professional, and she just attempted to ream me about me being unprofessional because I wasn't a licensed whatever in her state, and that if I couldn't see that, she wrote me and then talked about how she didn't want to have a dialogue with me about this because I couldn't see the value of being a licensed mental health professional in the use of hypnosis. And, you know, sometimes I just like to kill them with kindness. And I wrote back to her, and I was just really kind and explaining to her that basically what I just said in a very nice way. And I also went on to tell her, I passed along my curriculum vitae, including my publications in professional American Psychiatry and Psychological Association journals, and let her know that, you know, the people that I train and the people that I work are normal, healthy, everyday people with normal, everyday problems. And that very rarely, even though I'm trained in working with mentally ill people, would the hypnotist go there. We work with normal, everyday people with normal, everyday problems. And I hope that we would be able to just agree to disagree without being disagreeable about this. So, all right. If you are a professional, hundreds of hours of training and experience, helping people day after day, week after week, month after month, and some psychologist or some psychiatrist or some MD or whatever, social worker, family counseling therapist, whatever, calls you a lay hypnotist, I want you to very kindly lay into them and talk about what the word lay means. It means untrained. And that you're willing to put your training up against their training any day of the week. I presume that you are either well-trained or you are going to become well-trained before you start seeing clients. And when you do, I couldn't believe this woman. She's talking about how what she calls lay hypnotists should never see clients. And I said, you know, people, thousands, if not millions of people have been helped that would not have been helped if they had to go see a licensed medical or mental health professional. And it would be very, very sad if that person ever got her way. She just did not know what she was talking about. All right, well, there's my rant for this series. Anything else you want to add, Elron?
No, Cal, you said it all. Go get them, Cal!
Hey, you know, on calbanion.com, I'm going to pull it up in front of me, I think, here, just so I have something to look at. I don't mention it very often, but over in, on the column on the right side, I have somewhere the Banyan Hypnosis Manifesto. It's on the right-hand column. It's down at the bottom. If you really want to get my view in writing about the future of hypnosis, where I think it should go, click on the Hypnosis Manifesto by Cal Banyan, and you'll see what I think, where we should go in the future. All right. Now, I think we've got about 2 minutes. We'll cover this in 2 minutes. You had a question just before we started the podcast. I mean, unless you want to hold it over to the next one, I don't think we need that much time. About accessing older podcasts, right?
Yeah, and it came from my need to see content on the current podcasts that apparently we've already done. I go, oh, I'd like to see something on direct suggestion. Oh, wait, we already did that. Oh, I'd like to see something on age regression. Oh, we already did that too. And I wanted to highlight that for those of you watching, that we have archives of hundreds of videos that are absolutely fantastic. And I mentioned to Cal, I go, why don't you do some of that again? He goes, well, because when I did it then, it was awesome. If I was going to do it again, I really don't know what I'd change, because that's how good I think I did it. And I would have to agree, even though I was, it wasn't the response I was looking for. If I really think about it, it's true. There's a lot of great content. And so one of the ways that you all can get that content is to become a VIP member and explore those archives. You can, Cal, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can do that by clicking on the part of this website that says become a VIP member.
That's right. Right at the top of the website, both on the left and right hand side, you will see Be a VIP. Click here. And when you do that, you'll instantly be taken. You'll be sent an email, and the email will have a link, and it's a page that has a list of the title of every single podcast we've done over the years. And it's just an encyclopedia of just great information. And by the way, this stuff is available both in video and in audio. If you look right below this video, it says, let me look at the screen here, what it says. It says click to play video, and then it also says click to play audio version. And if you click, or if you right click, it depends on the kind of operating system you have, but if you have a PC type version, I'm not so up on the Mac stuff, if you right click on the click to play audio only version, you're going to be able to download the audios. So you could download them, put them on your on your iPhone, your iPod, or other audio type digital thing. And when you go for a walk or you're working or whatever, you can listen to these podcasts. And also, if you wanted to, we have the entire series, the first, 200 or so on CD, and you can just get them. And now I got to put a link to that down there too. It's just get it, and you can just have the CDs and play them in your car or whatever. Okay, I'm done. We're out of time.
All right, that's it. Hope you all enjoyed this episode, and check out those archives. You won't regret it. If you want to learn how to do this process, how to become a great hypnotherapist, because there's a difference between good and great, and we know what it is, check out hypnosiscenter.com. Hypnosis.org is another great site full of lots of products, tips, and tricks. Become a VIP member. Come take class with us. We'd be happy to instruct you. If you want to develop a relationship with me, you can email me, lronhypnosis@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to talk to you.
Develop a relationship with you? Are you single again?
No, Cal.
Oh.
No.
Okay, this is Cal Banyan. Make sure you check us out at facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. Make sure you go to hypnosiscenter.com because that's where my schedule is and a whole bunch of other resources. Go to hypnosis.org, because we organize the world of hypnosis for you, and there's much more resources there also, and a great video on how to do the Elman-Banyan induction and much, much more. All right, that's it. Hey, enjoy the holidays, and you know, when you think of Santa Claus, think of me. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan. Signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.